King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Yes. Hi, Peg. Yes. Yes. Amen. 11 to 14, if you're confirmation, follow that guy right there who just went that way. Amen. Amen. Well, how many of you are excited today? Amen. Oh, that's good news. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is here. He's here to speak to your heart. He's here to address you. Amen. He's here to open His Word. I'm around, but the Holy Spirit is here. You know, so don't mind me. Listen to the voice of the Word of God today. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart today, because He's changing you. He's transforming you. You have to have an expectation. Don't wonder if I'm going to preach any good. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you this morning. Amen. Do you have that expectation? Yes. Lord, thank you for speaking to my heart today. I'm sitting here listening to your voice, because you have loved me and you have transformed me. You have birthed me from above, because I believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He can be your Lord and Savior today. He can be your Lord and Savior today. All you do is just say, Jesus, come in and save me. Come in. I believe that you went to the cross to die for my sins, and that my sins have been forgiven. Everything that I've ever done that is evil and wicked, through the blood of Jesus Christ, He has forgiven me. And He took all of my sins upon Himself at the cross. And today I can receive Him in full forgiveness and enter into the presence of God and walk into the presence of God. When this life is over, when I die, I'm in the presence of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's how this works. It's not anything, it's not by works of righteousness that you do. Well, I think I did okay. No, you can't do okay. It's absolutely impossible. You started off with a negative and you continue with a negative. Until you ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So enter the kingdom of heaven today. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Just thought I'd give you a little bit beforehand. Well, today we're having a baptism service. Anybody hear about that? We're having a baptism service, and we're having it at my sister-in-law's house. She's got a swimming pool. Y'all say it's getting a little cool. Well, we had one last night at Lake Grapevine, and it was almost cool. It was almost too cool for that. I remember, Peg, I remember when Norman called our brother, one of our brothers here, who's been here a long time. Y'all know Norman LaBrosse. It was about 1985 or so, and he called Jim on a January morning. It was one of those years where it was cold in Texas in January. Does anybody know that a lot of years in January, it's just another day? But this was one of those, like last year. It was like a cold. And he said, Pastor Jim, I have to be baptized today. Really? Today? Jim's not used to Chicago. He wasn't used to Chicago winter anymore. You know, he was used to Texas winter. And so I think he did it. It was a very fast baptism. Yeah, Lake Benbrook, as I remember. So it was the fun. But today, we're going to baptize today, and it's going to be like certainly in the mid-80s. So you come. If you need to be baptized, if you have received the Lord Jesus and you have yet to be baptized, being baptized is an obedience to demonstrate to the world that you have received the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It's a public demonstration. When we'll talk about this here in a minute, but when John the Baptist was doing baptisms, That was not believers' baptism in Jesus, but it was a baptism in preparation for the coming of the Savior, repentance. And the Lord is coming. He is ready to arrive, and you're cleansing yourself. You're becoming yourself ready. And that's what baptism is. Baptism is a demonstration of receiving the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord, but also a cleansing, of showing forth of going from the old to the new, from the past to the future. And God is doing that for you. Amen. So if anybody you'd like to be baptized today, come talk to me after the service, and we can do that. All you have to do is run home, get you a change of clothes. We always like you to wear something that's, when it's wet, it's modest. So just kind of use that. Use that mentality. Bring you a towel. Amen. And the address is in the bulletin, 620 Cooper's Lane. Not Cooper Street, but Cooper's Lane, a little neighborhood in Kennedale today. And so it'll be at 2:30. All right? So go have lunch, go grab your clothes, and come on over. I'm going to look over at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And I'm going to read a lot of scripture today because we're going to demonstrate the history of baptism and the purpose of baptism. And, you know, sometimes when I'm preaching on something like this, I think, you know, wow, that's a whole lot of scripture and not a lot of preaching. Well, that just means it's a lot of Jesus and not much of me, which is probably pretty good anyway. So let's prepare for that. You can write these down, and then you can preach this message, you know, next week. So it'll be great. So this message today is on believers' baptism. I'll say this before we start, is that baptism was a part of the Jewish culture for centuries, as like I said, talking about cleansing, for a ritual cleansing. The priests would cleanse themselves before offering sacrifices. Back when the priests who were part of the sect, the Essenes, who found the Dead Sea Scrolls, they had a community out near Qumran. And we've been there, Janet. I've been there. Several of you who've been to Israel have been there as well. And they will take you around, and they'll show you these excavations that there have been places, these ritual baths, and ritual just means they do it all the time, is baths to cleanse before you come into the presence of the Lord, or before you're doing anything that has to do with serving the Lord in His presence. So that's what the cleansing is about. And that's when John the Baptist, which we're going to talk about, offered this to the children of Israel, to the people of Israel, to anyone who would come. that the baptism would be for repentance, that you are cleansing yourself. You're coming before the Lord and before people and making a declaration. And that's why baptism is public, because it's a public declaration of your faith, a public declaration of what God is doing in your life. Amen? That's why we do public baptisms. That's why, you know, in the Baptist churches, they always have the baptistry up here in the, you know, right there in the thing, right there in the church, you know, and you put them down, you know, put people under the water and do it publicly. And that it's a public thing. Yeah, because I've had people want to do a private baptism, you know, before, you know, and we had, it was interesting, we did Addie's baptism. Her mom got baptized at the lake down at Grapevine Lake, and a bunch of us were there. And so Addie, her daughter, wanted to get baptized there, down there in that same spot. And so we had her family. But then we had, and it was a busy day at the lake yesterday. And I think she liked having some people there. I don't know that she was wanting to have everybody there. So we were down there at the lake, and she didn't know I was going to start talking real loud either, you know. So because when you're talking to the people here, like if I'm talking to, where'd Peg go? I lost her. Anyway, I'll talk to Daphne. And I'm gonna, if, because you're on the lake, you have to speak loud, you know. So I said, Addison Taylor, I baptize you in the name of the, you know, I was loud, you know, talking to the beach. And so we all of a sudden had the attention of people on either side. And at the end of the thing, once she goes down and back up, you know, all of a sudden we have people going like, you know, clapping, you know, yay! And she was like, welcome to the family, these people over here. So it's great. So it's great to go down to the lake, you know, and see. You even have Christians at the lake. Yeah. That was really great. So it was a blessing. And so thankfully had some folks there to rejoice with us. So it was great. Mm-hmm. But it's a public thing, amen? Yeah. That's why John did it in the river, Jordan. So he could preach to a lot of people, and then he had a bunch of people there at the lake, down at the river Jordan, and baptizing folks. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching, and now I'm talking to you like you're at the lake, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him all of Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw how many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, that's nice, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to be our father. For I say unto you that God is able to of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Therefore every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So this is John the Baptist's message, is repent. The kingdom of heaven is coming. The kingdom of heaven. Jesus came in the fullness of time. You know, there was a law that God gave to Moses. And then there was a significant amount of time, 1,500 years. A significant amount of time that God brought this law to bring his people and to keep them and to maintain them. You know, without the law, the people of God would have just disappeared into the world. God made them a people, and God made them a nation. And they would have destroyed each other or themselves in the meantime. But see, the law was a demonstration of who God is. It is not how you're saved. You are not saved by keeping the law. We have the law. We have the Ten Commandments. We and the Ten Commandments do not save you. They show you what it is that God's righteousness is. But it cannot save you. The New Testament tells us that the law cannot save you. So we're not looking to the law to save us. We're looking to the God of heaven to transform and change us so that we look like what that law says. We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. You're not saved by doing something. The doing happens when Jesus, moves on the inside of you, that's when you're saved. It's when the power of God comes and lives on the inside of you. So anytime you hear somebody or yourself say, "Well, I think I'm okay," I guarantee you, you're not. By anything that you have done, you are not born again by anything that you have done. By works of good works or keeping the law. It's only by saying, "Jesus Christ, I receive your death, burial, and resurrection for me, that my sins are forgiven and I have an entrance into heaven." Amen. That's it. That's it. Don't try to escape, Danny used to say. Don't escape. Because this righteousness only comes by the living God indwelling you by His Spirit. Amen? Amen. So that's what John is preaching about. John is preaching about there is somebody coming, and he's coming quickly. He's talking about Jesus. He said the axe is laid to the root of the tree. What does that mean? That means this law thing and this nation and this dependence on the law and sacrifices, it's going. It's going away. Keeping the law and keeping sacrifices are gone. It is now only faith in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection that brings you into the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, in fact, the faith in that promise, God gave that promise that a Savior was coming. Faith in the promise to the future is what saved the people who died before Jesus came. Well, how did they get saved? They're all in the bosom of Abraham. They are with Abraham. You remember there's a story about the rich man and Lazarus, not the guy he raised from the dead, but a different Lazarus. And the rich man and Lazarus, and they both died. They both went to the places of the dead. Those who had faith in the promise and the God of Abraham went into what Jesus called, remember, the paradise. Remember that he told the thief, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." That thief who died with him on the cross. And the rich man had gotten, he'd had his reward in this world. Who knows what kind of a mean guy he was, or he had no hope or faith in the promises of Abraham. And there was a separation. And so everybody who dies goes to one of those two places, a place of torment or a place of rest. Lazarus was with Abraham at the place of rest because they had hope in the coming Savior. They had faith in the promise of God. And then Jesus, when he descended into hell, the lower parts of the earth, as we talk about in the Apostles' Creed, Jesus went and declared, "I have completed the work. Come with me." And so he emptied paradise when he was crucified, and he died, and he took them with him and emptied that place. Now, the folks in torment are still waiting judgment. The rich man, remember, he says, "Yeah, hey, send Lazarus to go tell my brothers. Let him go back, tell my brothers to believe." He said, "Let them believe the law and the prophets. Let them hear them, because they will not hear, even though somebody is raised from the dead." Who do we know that was raised from the dead? Jesus. And we still have people who do not believe. Keep telling them. We still got time. Tell people. Tell people about Jesus, that Jesus died for their sin. They don't have to keep a law. In fact, they can't. It's impossible to do. But God is setting you free. Through faith. Through faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Now look here at Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them. This is the end of Jesus' ministry. Saying, this is right before he's ascended. "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. We got two messages going on. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So Jesus commands us to teach all nations and to teach everybody and baptize them. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. We're going to do some of that today. Teaching them to observe. So you do one other thing. You teach them to observe, Jesus says, all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So Jesus never leaves you. Jesus never leaves you. He sent the Holy Spirit. He never leaves you. And he's teaching, he commands us to teach one another all of the things that he spoke. Now, what did he teach you? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. He's got two commands, right? Jesus has got two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love people. Love people. Well, how do you do that? You got to have the Holy Ghost. You have to have the Holy Spirit. Again, otherwise it'd just be you trying to work this out. And you're not very good at it. I know I'm not. Maybe you're better at it than I am. I doubt it. Loving your neighbor. Loving people. People are crummy. How do I know? Because I am. You know, I make people go out to the park in the middle of the dark in the night and trying to find my phone that is riding on my car. It's good to have good friends and loving people. Amen. Praise the Lord. You ever done anything like that? Got a bunch of people helping you, looking for something, and all of a sudden it's in your pocket? That's amazing how people will love you. But God, He will do things to help you to love your neighbor because it's difficult. Because people aren't sweet all the time. Amen. People aren't sweet all the time. But the Holy Spirit, listen, I want you to know that God loves through you. God loves through you. Don't check yourself. Don't take pictures. All right? Just know that the living God who saved you and birthed you from above is working on the inside of you every single day to love your family, to love your co-workers, to love your co-students, whatever, to husbands, wives. Just God is working in you. And trust Him. Father, thank you that I forgive. Oh, Lord God, thank you that I forgive. Amen. Ask Him to help you forgive today. Amen? This is what God is doing. Teaching them to observe all things, even all those things, even that what I've commanded you. And our dependence is not upon our own strength. Come on now. Come on now. Get it done. Do it for Jesus. Yeah. He'll love you more. No. No. The Holy Spirit works on the inside of you to change you. When you see the anger rising up on the inside of you, start worshiping. Listen, we believe in praying in other tongues in this church. Amen? If I see something cropping up on the inside of me, I just start praying in other tongues. You know, you can actually just do that. You can actually just decide to. Father, in the name of Jesus. Sometimes you start, you can't stop. And you're worshiping God. He said, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. Amen? It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. So, because you're worshiping God in the Spirit, from His Spirit, and He's helping you pray when you don't even know how to pray. He's helping you do that. Okay, look at Mark chapter 16, another end of a gospel, to give you a little more clarity. And he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth not. And it didn't say if you miss the baptism, you know, you'd miss it. But his command is to be baptized. But he that believeth not. So, how are you born from above? Believing. Believe the gospel. Now, if you, he commands you to be baptized, but if Jesus came between the time you received Jesus and got baptized, I think he'll let you in. Amen. I think if he let in the thief on the cross, I don't think they had time to baptize him. But Jesus told him, said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. If that's all you have to, you know, have time for, then I think he'll receive you. All right? So you want to believe. He that believes, but he commands you. He commands you to be baptized. Now let's look at Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, everybody say assuredly, that God has made that same Jesus, he's been preaching about Jesus, whom you have crucified, he's made him both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So he's been preaching about the entire story of Israel from the time of Moses until the crucifixion of Jesus and having been raised from the dead. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. It's not just extra credit. Baptism is not extra credit, okay? It is your testimony of what the Holy Spirit has done and what God has done in your life. It is your, like when we have testimonies here, it's your testimony. So you want to get baptized. My wife, before we got married, we were running around to various meetings, you know, and all kinds of Christian meetings we would go to. And there was one over here, and they were having a baptism in a swimming pool. Go figure. So they're having a baptism in a swimming pool. And Janet poked me and said, you need to get baptized. Well, Peg, I had a Lutheran baptism when I was 8 days old. And I had godparents. I mean, I even know my godmother's still living. I got two god sisters. In fact, I've got a god brother-in-law who is a North American Lutheran pastor. He just got ordained last month. He's my age. And Peg, they believe like we do. They're the ones that would have left the church back then. You know. Anyway. So, Janet decided I needed to be baptized because I hadn't been properly baptized. I hadn't been dunked in the water, you know. And so I had been sprinkled. And I said, honey, I said, my baptism took effect when I received Jesus as my Savior. You know, I was happy with that. But she said, no. If you're marrying me, you're getting baptized properly. It was over at the home of Owen and Irene Kane over there on the east side of Fort Worth. You know. So I didn't have any clothes. So I just got in the pool and submitted to it. And it was a blessing to me. So I'm not saying that your baptism is illegitimate. I'm just saying it's best to do what your wife tells you to do. Or your husband, if that'll help you with respect to your testimony. But I would recommend, even if you've been sprinkled, my personal testimony, I'd recommend it. Okay, once you have made that decision yourself as an adult, as a knowing that you've done it, to go ahead and be baptized in a public manner. Amen. Don't just hide behind your grandparents, you know, and your sprinkler. So it'll get you there just like the thief on the cross, but let's have a public declaration of your faith. Amen. That'd be a blessing to you. So he says, repent and be baptized, Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's all of us. Amen? So being baptized and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 40, and with many other words he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, evil generation. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day were added to the church about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. They did what? They continue. Here's what you do. You don't just get saved and baptized and wait for heaven. You say you continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship with one another, in breaking of bread. That's what we're going to do this morning in the communion, and in prayers. So this is your life in Christ. This is your life in the church. Is you continue in these fellowship and prayer items to continue daily to have this fellowship, because this is our world. We live. We don't just get saved and then keep going in the world. You live in the world, but you're not of the world. And so your baptism is a declaration that you're living in a different kingdom. Amen? Abraham was known because he was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And that's what baptism is a demonstration of, is your exit from this world. I no longer am bound to this world. I'm bound for heaven. The kingdom of heaven is my destination. And I have lots of folks who are going there with me. All right? Now, Romans chapter 6. And Paul begins to describe what baptism is. Listen. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. For if we had been planted together, like planting a seed in the ground, in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, I always like it when the Bible assumes that you know this. You are part of this kingdom. So you knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth from now on we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. You know, if you've been buried, you're freed from sin. Sin is no longer your master. And we'll continue with that thought. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, there's a knowing again, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died one unto sin once, but in that he lives to God. Likewise, in the same way, reckon yourself also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin, listen to this, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall not rule over you, because you are not under the law. See, if you're under the law, it would be up to you to not sin. But you're under grace, which is the power of God, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. You're under grace that you might live above the power of sin. The power of sin no longer has authority over you. Amen. And this baptism that we're talking about is a demonstration of that death and resurrection. The old life is over. The new life has come. And it's a physical representation that your old man, the old man of sin, is dead. So when you're baptized, it gives you a representation that you have done this outward act. It's not the act itself, but it's the faith attached to it that says, my old man is dead. I'm born from above, and I'm publicly demonstrating and showing. And God has done something on the inside of me. And I'm telling all of you, help me. Even in the baptisms of children, like I said, with the godparents, you know, it's, you have somebody right there standing by. If we die, if the parents die, if we die, we've got these people here who've committed to raise this child for us in the faith of Jesus Christ. You're dedicating yourself, and we do this in dedications here in our congregation, that when you're a child, when you're a baby, you bring your baby up here, and we stand with you as a congregation, we stand with you as the parents to say, we're raising this child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and under the Word of God. So this child will hear the good news and will enter into heaven with his family. Amen? Now, until he makes that decision, he or she makes that decision on their own, I mean, that you know, we don't say, okay, now that baptism saved that baby. Yeah. That until that child comes to an age of accountability, where, and God knows what age that is, that then we teach them. We raise them up, teach them the gospel, teach them the Word of God. We teach them how to behave, obviously, but we don't teach them that behaving brings you into heaven. Yeah, that's the problem with a lot of people. A lot of people think behaving gets you into heaven. You know what? It doesn't. Behaving doesn't get you into heaven. Faith in Jesus Christ gets you into heaven. I want you to tell everybody you know. You know, maybe you're not a good evangelist or preacher, but just go tell your family members at least. Don't depend on your good works to get into heaven, because it don't work. Okay? I mean, just tell them that much. That don't depend on you. Because a lot of people, that's all they would want to even talk about or even consider having in that conversation is, well, I've done okay. I'm better than this, so the other people. I'm not as bad as some people. You know what? Doesn't matter. All of you are going to the same hell. Amen. Until you put faith in Jesus, doing good works has nothing, is no benefit. Now, it's beneficial to the people you do them to. Thank you. Appreciate that very much. You know, acts of kindness. Acts of kindness help people out, but they don't get you anywhere. They don't get you into heaven. Acts of kindness. They don't stack up. Without faith in Jesus, acts of kindness don't stack up. Amen? They just, you know, you get your reward. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I'm just trying to help you today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 8. And as they went on their way, this is Philip, the evangelist. Philip, one of the original deacons. If you read Acts chapter 6, you find out who the original deacons were. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch, he was talking to the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, "Here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, but he went on his way rejoicing. So here, it's just any old water, not church water. Amen, not holy water. Hey, here's some water. Can we get baptized in this lake? Or can we get baptized in this river? You remember there was a story about a guy named Naaman, the prophet Elijah, I think it was Elisha, told him to go wash in the River Jordan. He said, "We got rivers back in our town that are much cleaner than the Jordan River. Why do I have to go in that?" So it doesn't matter the water. So it is just water. Just water where you can get under. I had to make sure Addie could, when I baptized Addie last night, I had to make sure she go all the way down and all the way up. Immersed. Baptizo, that's what it means. It means to immerse. So he went on his way rejoicing. Acts chapter 16. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. This is Paul. Whose heart the Lord opened. She heard us preaching. She heard the word of the Lord. She heard us preaching about Jesus. Whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended unto the things which were spoken by Paul. And when she was baptized, and her house, her household, she besought us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." So she offered hospitality to this evangelistic apostolic team who was visiting in her city. So she was baptized, and her house. People would be baptized in their whole household. They'd get the whole household involved. Amen? We got one of those happening today. Yeah, we got a household, you know, or multiple members of that household getting baptized today. Acts 18. And when Silas, it's happened all the time, is what I'm trying to tell you. This is an often occurrence. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, and one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue next door. And Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house. Well, that's pretty powerful. So he went to the synagogue. So one of the Jewish guys, of course, most of the Christians in those days, you know, all the apostles, all the disciples, how many know they were all Jewish? They were all Jewish. All the disciples were Jewish. You know, we're used to having a more or less a Gentile church, but Paul said he was going to go to the Gentiles when the Jews rejected the message of Jesus. When they rejected his message. And so what you do is you share the word of God And he says, and when they opposed themselves. I love that. That's interesting, isn't it? If you reject the message of Jesus, you're opposing yourself. Because if you receive the message of Jesus, you're blessing yourself. Because you're receiving salvation through faith and eternal life. But if you reject that message, that Jesus Christ and Him crucified, believing on Him and having and receiving eternal life, you oppose yourself. You're against yourself. But if you'll receive Him, you're receiving the gift of eternal life. So Paul says this, he says, opposed themselves and blasphemed. That is, because the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is the one who reveals Jesus. So to blaspheme is to reject the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who comes and indwells you with the finished work of Jesus. Paul said, they opposed themselves and blasphemed. He shook his raiment, and he said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. Once you've shared the gospel, once you've shared the truth, you know, it's not incumbent upon you to, now you love people and you want to continue to encourage them, but it's not incumbent upon you to chase them down. Amen? It's incumbent then upon them. The truth is theirs to do with as they will. Paul said, I am clean. From henceforth, my conscience is clean. In other words, I've shared my heart. From henceforth, I'll go to the Gentiles. And he departed from there and entered into a certain house named Justus, Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue. Believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. See if I want to continue with this one. Okay, here in Ephesians chapter 19. Oh, no, Acts chapter 19, sorry. Acts chapter 19, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, this is interesting, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said to him, we haven't even so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. What's a Holy Ghost? So you can tell that some people, the whole message doesn't always get preached all the time. So we haven't heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, what were you baptized? Well, John's baptism, John the Baptist, unto repentance. And then Paul said, verily John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who would come after him. That is, on Jesus, or Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, baptized again. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. So you want to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now Jesus said, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So you're baptizing them because Jesus Christ is the one who brings that salvation to you. Amen. His finished work on the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink that same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them And that rock was Christ. Now, this is Paul talking in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, relating back to the rock that was talked about in Deuteronomy chapter 32. There was a rock that followed them. You remember also there was a rock out of which they received water. You remember? That rock in the desert. First of all, Moses hit the rock and the water came out. Then Moses said later, or God said to Moses later, speak to the rock. And then Moses decided hitting it was good enough, so he hit it twice. Well, then God didn't, then he didn't even get to go into the promised land. I'm not saying God isn't, that Moses won't be in heaven. He just didn't get to see the land. But this rock and this water that they walked through, the types and the shadows of the baptism of coming through the water, he said, here, I don't want you to be ignorant that all of these things, so ignorance has to do with, I want you to understand that these things that Moses and the children of Israel went through were a type and a shadow of what was to come here in our day. That how our fathers were under the cloud and they passed through the sea. What sea did they pass through? You remember? Where the sea stood up on both sides as they walked on dry ground across the Red Sea. That was a baptism from out of Egypt into the promised land. That's you. That's your baptism. Out of Egypt and into the promised land. They did drink from the same spiritual drink. They drank from that rock that followed them, and that rock was who? Jesus. See, how many know Jesus was in the Old Testament? That's a whole other message of things. Colossians chapter 2. And you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Jesus Christ, buried with Him in baptism. So you're buried. When we're laying you down into the water, you're buried. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein you were also risen or raised with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, with Jesus, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So Jesus made a show of them openly. That's why baptism is public. It's an open showing that the enemy is defeated. He doesn't win. He's a loser. The enemy is defeated. And life eternal reigns on the inside of you. Just a couple more. 1 Peter chapter 3. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which He also went and preached unto the spirits in prison. That's what I was talking about Lazarus and the rich man a few minutes ago. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even does baptism now also save us. Not the putting away, listen, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the water that saved the 8 souls that were on the ark in Noah's day. That water is a type and a shadow that says that's how you're saved, is through this baptism. The like figure, verse 21 again, the like figure, whereunto even baptism does now also save us. Now, I want to clarify that. The baptism, the act of baptism. Some denominations will say that it's this scripture backs up that it's baptism that saves you. No, faith saves you. It's a good conscience toward God, not putting away of the flesh. And it's a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So your baptism is receiving, is you're demonstrating that you have received by faith the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the act of baptism itself is not what's saving you, but it's faith in the finished work of Jesus, which is demonstrated by that act of baptism, going under the water and coming up. Okay? Just helping you. And finally, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Everybody say, period. Okay. By faith in Jesus Christ. As many as each of you has been baptized into Christ. Now, that is not talking about the physical act of baptism either. Being baptized into Christ is being baptized into His death. That is, so by the demonstration of the outward baptism, which shows your intent and your declaration to the world, shows that you have been baptized into Christ, into Him by faith. You are in Him and He is in you. You remember John chapter 17, Jesus' prayer to the Father. He says, I in them, they in me, they in us. We are baptized into Christ Jesus, into His death and resurrection. Amen? Yeah. This is who we are. So I'm telling you today, how the Word of God shows us baptism in walking as a believer, and how it differs from baptism in the Old Testament, and how it distinguishes baptism from water baptism and being baptized into Christ, which is by faith alone. But your outward baptism to the world is a demonstration that I have believed on the only begotten Son of God, and I am testifying to you that my life is no longer my own, but my life belongs to Him. And we invite anybody who you've believed in the Lord Jesus for a long time, but somehow you never felt like it was time to get baptized, I encourage you, it's time. It doesn't save you, doesn't make you cleaner, doesn't make you better, but it declares your faith. And so if you would like to be baptized today, come and talk to me this morning. And as I said earlier, bring a proper change of clothes, and we have a place for you to change when you get there. Or come dressed to be baptized, and you can change into something not wet after that. And so I just encourage you to, because we don't do this a lot and we don't have one here. So I would encourage you to do that if you'd like to today. All right. Praise the Lord. Any questions? Louise. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Matthew, John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Suffer it to be so now, and thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness."
Mm-hmm.
So even Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And of course, he was baptized as a priest or as a minister of the covenant, you know. So he wasn't obviously being baptized because he needed to be saved. But, I could have included that one, but I didn't. But thank you for bringing it. Yeah. It's a different baptism. But yeah, absolutely. Anybody else? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask a couple of men to help me with the communion. And so you can come and assist us. If you are born again, if you love the Lord Jesus, you're invited to the Lord's table. And there is wine on the inside two rings, grape juice on the outside ring of the tray as it goes in front of you. Can we get a volunteer to help us with another side? Monty, thank you. There we go. Always pass the bread first.